This is a replay of the Wednesday night, October 16th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP for the world's best customer service. It's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and if it's in your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. So we'll start out with the controversy over Bosses Day. Did you even know there was a Bosses Day? Actually, it started in 1958 when Patricia, a worker, registered National Bosses Day with the Chamber of Commerce. She was working as a secretary for State Farm. Her boss was her father. It was his father's birthday, October 16th, so she registered that. Well, within 4 years, they convinced Illinois Governor Otto Kerner to, in fact, codify this and officially proclaim October 16th, Bosses Day. Now, I said that Hallmark cards stopped selling the cards in 1979, but that is completely wrong. They started selling the cards in 1979, and they're still selling them. I was just looking at an entire display of Hallmark cards for this, and so that's why many people are saying this is just an excuse to buy a Hallmark card. Yeah, and probably true, but the real issue comes up in etiquette, if you will, where gift giving in the workplace, if allowed, is generally from the boss to an employee. For a job well done or what have you, and not the way around. Because obviously your boss holds sway over you, so people shouldn't feel obligated to purchase gifts for someone who has power over them. And that's the deal. The Society for Human Resource Management weighs in, said, well, in large companies, it's more appropriate for HR to handle appreciation for supervisors. Well, obviously with Hallmark, they want you to buy a card, but well, fine. Like I said, many from which to choose. But that dovetails into sadly an obit. Donald J. Hall Sr., Kansas City, died October 13th. He was 96, though. He did not start Hallmark. His father did, actually, and he, as the son, inherited the job after a while. He was working from the 40s on, graduated it from Dartmouth in 1950, and then went on from there and returned to Hallmark in 1953, and I guess took over the company in I guess it was 1966 when his father retired. And it was interesting, of course, because Hallmark in Kansas City was in the news big time in 1981 with the Hyatt Regency walkway collapse, which was a Hallmark involved issue. And one of his jobs was to oversee the litigation. It cost more than $100 million. And a couple of years after that, he said, I'm done. Yeah, right. I'll just retire. And he was chairman emeritus until his death. So that that's the deal there on obits and Bosses Day. And oh yes, you can tell it's just going to be a rip-roaring evening all the way around. But one thing on a serious note I wanted to mention, because we ran out of time last night in our abbreviated show, but the deal is that let me check something first. I might have done it again. I hope not, but I might have. No, I didn't. Okay. Last night, if you were listening to my stream, you missed a half hour of the show because I forgot to turn it on. Well, tonight it is on, so good. All right, so attendance will be taken now that I know you can hear me. So the deal is yesterday was White Cane Safety Day, and that is celebrated every year on October 15th. And not only is it a reminder about how important a tool it is in helping the blind and the visually impaired, but also, as we've discussed more recently, it really alerts others to the fact that there is a vision impairment and why that is important. In some cases, if the blind individual is hit and is not carrying a cane, they may not be compensated, which is very interesting. But it was 1963 when the NFB called upon the governors from every state to proclaim October 15th of each year as White Cane Safety Day, and Congress, by joint resolution, approved it in 1964, and so that's the deal. And it's a godsend all the way around, but now it might be a legal aid as well, so keep that in mind. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We'll play most of your requests. Oh, I see Cindy's going to kick us off with another one. All right, so Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio. What is it you want to hear?
Okay, I can't remember. I wrote it down. How do you do what you do to me? Is that the name of it? How do you do?
Are you talking about Jerry and the Pacemakers?
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
How do you do? I like that.
All right.
Song.
All right. I was afraid a moment there you were saying "How do you do" by Mouth and McNeil. I would have said no, absolutely not, no way, no hell. But Jerry and the Pacemakers, sure.
Well,
okay.
That'll be for Halloween.
How do you do it? How do you do it?
Yeah. How do you do it?
Yep.
But then anyhow, I'm back walking in the mall. I guess they kicked all the mall cops out at the Harlem Irving Mall.
Why?
I don't know if they kicked it because they were just harassing the customers. Like the customers were criminals. It was just it went on for 20 years, and I just got what they did. The one time, you know, I guess it's just Chicago. You know, I don't know if it was, you know, like I took it more than it was because there's so many people and I just don't want anyone to invade my personal space when I go out. I mean, you know, I don't know. But it's real nice there now
and lovely.
You know, they have a Five Below and
okay.
I don't know. It's real nice there.
Well, nice to hear about a thriving mall. And we'll get you Jerry and the Pacemakers on maybe tonight. Keep listening. All right, so there you have it, 888-876-5593. I like to hear about any thriving mall because for the life of me, I do not know why malls are dying. Now, I'm sure there's an economic factor that I do not understand in terms of what it costs you and what the anchor tenants are and all those kind of things. So I'm sure that there are a number of things that are way beyond my knowledge. But as far as shopping, I can't understand why malls would go away. Yeah, it's too cold in winter, it's too hot in summer, why do you want to be outdoors anyway? And more I'm seeing these enclaves of live and work and things like this where they try to be a small town downtown, complete with ridiculous parking. Bring back the malls. All right, I'm done. Now, we'll get to Ruth, we'll get to Clayton, we'll get to you two coming up. But right now, let's get to the Sea Crane Company. Yeah, you know, I really do feel Bob Crane should have been knighted because many years ago when radios that were being made had just lousy reception, he said, I can do better. And he did. And with every successive radio he has come up with, they just all have one thing in common, and that is unbelievable AM and FM reception. But all of them have additional features as well that are very enticing. And one of them is the CC Skywave SSB2. It's got AM, it's got FM, it's got shortwave, it's got NOAA weather and an alert. It's got a scannable VHF aviation band traveling. Yeah, we'll find out what air traffic control has to say. And single sideband. So there are so many ways to get information. And, you know, one of the things we've been talking about, Helene and Milton and all of that, and, you know, report after report of people who were stranded, not only was their power down, but their cell service was down. And the bottom line is all they had was radio. So when it really hits the fan, having a radio makes all the difference. And there's many, many emergency radios from which to choose. But as far as a terrific travel radio as well, this is, it'll fit in the palm of your hand. It's really neat. It weighs 8 ounces. The reception is excellent, like every radio Bob Crane has been involved with. And the audio for its small size is sharp and clear. And you will hear things that you're never going to hear on your smartphone, whether it's shortwave or the aviation band, which is great when you're traveling, or single sideband, where sometimes that's the first time you're hearing of things. So It is a terrific deal, and it's not an expensive radio. Go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Take a look at the CC Skywave SSB2. I think you're going to love it. Now, if you can't go online, well, they've got the world's best customer service. And I'll tell you what, you call them, you can order on the phone, they'll answer all your questions, or if you prefer, they'll just mail you a hard copy of the catalog so you can read to your heart's delight. And that is 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, not only will you see great products in the Sea Crane catalog, but you will just get great information about products as well. And while you're perusing things, take a look at the new CC Skywave SSB2. It's really interesting in that they improved, hard to believe that they improved the reception on it for shortwave. So it's got a new micro USB connector that works from any USB port, and improved in-circuitry battery charging, and the antenna jack can significantly improve shortwave reception when used with an external antenna. So all the bells and whistles. 888, no it isn't either, 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Tune. Now, when you go to the catalog, if you're saying, I don't know anything about single sideband, well, right in the catalog, you can read all about it. ccrane.com/ssb-info. It is a truly, truly great radio. And the Sea Crane Company is a truly great company. So you probably know all about it because I have a feeling you're a radio lover, like am I. But if not, get familiar. That's ccradio.com. Look at the CC Skywave SSB2. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Back home to you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Jimmy Reed, Ain't That Lovin' Ya Baby, 1956 on VJ. And that's for John. He said earlier, you play everybody else's request, why don't you play one for me? And, it depends what you want to hear. And he said, Jimmy Reed, Ain't That Lovin' Ya Baby. I said, done. Absolutely. Fine, fine song. We played one of Jimmy P's six packs last night. I hope he heard it because it was so wonderful. But, yeah, the cool gents. But we have the other five on his list, which we'll play tonight, as well as your requests. Additionally, your requests. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. And we're going right over to Ruth and Gurney. Going to talk about Halloween costumes. Yeah, what's hot, what's not. All right, Ruth.
Hello, Raleigh. Well, I started assembling items to put together for Halloween costumes. And I've got several ideas, and I've put together things, and I think that some of them are really incredibly good for trunk and treat. And so that's a unique idea. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Oh, of course.
No pun intended. And okay. It's unique when all those cars assemble together, but there's some decorations that are large that can cover the back of the car. So this is one of my ideas for that, or for other, especially for contests. This one is you put a cardboard together from a box, large pieces, and you make a table. And you cover it with an old antique crocheted tablecloth. Now, the person goes in the inside with a cutout in the middle, and the table paper plate you could use assortments of Halloween themes, but I prefer Hocus Pocus Oriental merchandise. Their assortment for paper tableware on this going to be a costume. And, of course, fortune cookies would be on the plates. You secure them with tape. Now, this is my idea.
Well, I was going to say, and exactly how is anybody going to trick or treat in that?
Well, you go inside of it. You
well, I understand, but you still have to move.
You stand inside of it, and you could be a pumpkin, you could be a ghost, you could be a cornucopia, or you could be a sounds like Snitch, but starts with a B.
Yes,
I
but
mean,
how,
starts with a W.
How do you get door to door in this thing?
I tried it out. It worked.
Oh, God.
It worked.
I wish I could have seen that. All right. Well, why not? Oh. Why not? Because I'll tell you, it's better, by the way, than what I'm seeing online.
The thing is held up by the shoulders, but
of course
in my particular case, I did it for a wheelchair so that the box goes over the wheelchair and the person sitting in the wheelchair, and then the top part is their, you know, shoulders and the head up. And so that makes an incredible costume for a wheelchair person also.
Right.
But it can be done walking or wheelchair. Now, I got several of my, you know, putting them together, working on them for a month. So here's another one. This would be, again, a large cardboard refrigerator box or some kind of a box or washing machine. Well, for this one, you'd need a taller than the washing machine box. But this would be a coloring book, and it would be covered with a cover, and if you wanted to put some form of pages with poster board in the inside of it, and you would have that as one person, and then the second person would be a Crayola crayon costume, preferably the blue tefal, and on the cover of the coloring book would say America, the blue tefal, and flags, and all kinds of patriotic things.
I got 1 minute, so give me another one in a minute.
Oh, another costume?
Sure.
I have this jacket. I couldn't resist buying it a few years ago. It's fake news, and it can be worn by a teenager, a child, or a small adult. And this would be a... You can make a cardboard lemonade stand into a newsstand, and you can get one of them newspapers and print whatever you want it on the newspaper, like fake news or any other statement or title on the newspaper, and you have a magazine sale boy, newspaper boy type of clothing.
All right.
If you had the license plates that were, the guy was arrested in Waukegan for illegal temporary license plates. I thought it would have been wonderful. He did so many. That's how they caught him. It would have been wonderful if this guy had made these license plates that said fake on them or fake news on the license plate. I thought that would be interesting, too. There's three costumes.
Well, there you go.
I
appreciate it. You'll celebrate Halloween in style. Thanks. Appreciate it, Ruth. All right, so there you have it. Look, it's better than Lusty Lace Vampire. That's the first thing that came up when I looked for this year's costumes. We'll pick it up with Tara, Clayton, and you on WGN Radio.
The lights are low. Gone is my love. Gone is the thrill. Click, lights are low. And in my lonely room, gone is the joy. Oh, in comes the gloom. Daybreak appears.
is missing. Oh, because you're not here. Days are so lonely, my nights are so blue. Oh, dear, since you've been gone.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that was Jimmy Key's request, and that was the Eldorado's last release on VJ, 1957 on VJ, and that was a favorite of Scotty's, too. All right, so 888-876-5593, that will take us to Tara in South Bend. What's up tonight, Tara?
Hey, I was just going to see how you're doing. And I had a request.
Okay, what you got?
How are you doing? How are you doing?
Yeah, today was a better day. Yeah, I can't complain. We're both sitting erect and no one's fallen out of a chair. So all is good.
That is the absolute truth.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, I'm sure you do, and I want to make sure you like it because I don't want you to play things you don't like. But do you like Wildflower by Skylark?
No, but I'd play it for you anyway.
No.
I would.
Because I know you love other things that I like.
Yeah.
Like Suavecito.
Suavecito is one of my all-time favorite records. Oh, yeah, I'd love to play Suavecito.
Okay, that's what you can play for me.
Okay, I'd love to do it.
I just want you to play something that makes you and me happy.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a killer record.
My California sister, go for it.
All right. Thanks for calling, Tara.
All right. Thanks for listening.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, you can bet I'll play Suavecito. What a great song all the way around. Yeah, too bad we didn't hear much more from Malo. But and now, it's been a few years. Their lead singer, who was not Jorge Santana. Jorge Santana was in the group, and everybody was used to say it was Malo with Jorge Santana. That's true, but he didn't sing lead. And the guy who did, sadly, is no longer with us. Clayton in Washington, Indiana, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, this is... Hi, I'm back on WGN today. My brother actually wants to say something.
He got the whole family involved in a
comment.
All right. So let's see what the brother has to say here. All right.
So.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Okay. I hope that, hope against hope, that Adam caught that. And Clayton will no longer be on the show because that's not tolerated. And it was not only obscene, but it was racial, and I don't cotton to that at all. So not going to be happening. 888-876-5593, and I hope to hell, like I say, that you didn't hear it. So, and I'll take the time when I digitize the show tonight, I'll take the time to edit that out because there's just no room for that. Period. All right, so I was just reading about a woman in her 20s who fell overboard on the MSC Virtuoso. It was a cruise ship in the Channel Islands in Great Britain, basically from England to Portugal. Now, this ship has 18 floors, as I like to call them, but of course they don't. But regardless, I mean, this is like falling out of the Marriott or the Hyatt or the Hilton. Who the and you know, I hear about this from time to time, and rarely, you know, do I ever hear about someone, you know, plunging to their death from, say, the DoubleTree. All right, but in this case, and sadly, she did die. And about 12:30 in the morning, all hell broke loose when passengers were alerted to the alarm sounding throughout the ship. Pitch darkness. Of course, most people at 12:30 are asleep. Not me, but most people. And here comes the internet that a person's fallen overboard on the port side. And so here come the spotlights and the rescue aircraft from France. Here come folks from the Channel Islands all flying over it. And one eyewitness said passengers were shocked, distressed, and traumatized. Well, more than that. Yeah, shocked, absolutely. You know, you just don't fall out of the fountain blue. I shouldn't be laughing, but I'm sorry. The captain did his best turning the ship around 180 degrees and trying to find the passenger. And At 1:30, they confirmed the passenger was missing, but they didn't find him right away. Helicopters and Coast Guard and everything else came on to board. And there's a Navy helicopter from France that led the search and rescue operation. And the bottom line is, sadly, that that the person they did find the next day, but did not survive it. But as I'm thinking about this, is, again, I know they call them like decks, not floors, but nonetheless, think about this, like an 18-floor hotel. You don't normally fall out of them. All right, so no initial information on who this was or what their nationality is. Never mind that. What were they doing? All right, so 888-876-5593. And I told John, but John wasn't listening. Clayton is banned from the show. All right, never again. So that's the deal there. And we'll pick it up in moments right here with you on WGN Radio.
She's been away. I've never had a happy day. I hope and I pray that she'll hear my plea, and maybe someday she'll come back to me. For
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 888-876-5593. If you want to join in the festivities, that, of course, is the Nutmegs in the background, Story Untold, 1955 on Herald, and that was one of Jimmy P's six-packs as well. And now I see Jeff in Beloit, says Robert Lee Johnson. Something tells me we're not talking about the writer from Jonesboro, Arkansas. Could be. Probably about the spy. So what's up, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm not sure if his name was Robert Lee Johnson or Robert Wood Johnson. I was talking to John.
You're talking about the spy?
And,
the spy?
No, Okay. Although that's interesting, I might want to talk about that, but I know nothing about that. But I heard about this. Robert Johnson had an album around 1929, 1930.
Okay.
And he got started out, maybe you know who that is, but I guess he got started out, instead of having a guitar, he had a piece of siding with nails in it and piano wire.
All right, you're talking about Robert Leroy Johnson.
Leroy Johnson.
Yeah,
okay.
Robert Leroy Johnson. All right, so he's not a writer and he's not a spy. He died really young. I mean, like 27 years old or something like that. He was around, born in like 1911, and he was dead before the 30s were over. And
A couple questions. You said he's not a writer, but there's a couple.
When I say not a writer, there's a famous Robert Lee Johnson from Jonesboro, Arkansas, who is a famous writer, not musician. And so when it first said Robert Lee Johnson, I thought, well, maybe we're talking about him. And that was like 1908. He was born till like 1980, and he wrote Beer Fest and Stand By All Networks and stuff like that. But anyway, there was also Robert Lee Johnson, who was a spy. He was an American sergeant who spied for the Soviet Union. He volunteered to spy for the KGB. So that's Robert Lee Johnson. So when you had Robert Lee Johnson, well, maybe, but it didn't even occur to me we were talking about Robert Leroy Johnson. And his stuff is actually fairly widely available if you actually want to hear it.
Yeah, I saw it on a jukebox, and I was going through his songs. And my question is to you is if he actually wrote them. There's two songs in particular. One is Crossroads, And Eric Clapton from Cream actually did a remake of that song with a different arrangement.
Uh-huh.
But there's another song that he did as Sweet Home Chicago.
Yeah, by the way, let me first say, Crossroads, he wrote as Crossroad Blues.
So he wrote it.
Yeah, but it was on Vocalion, and that was Crossroad Blues, and he did write it, and he performed it solo with an acoustic guitar, basically, and it was, you know, your basic Delta blues, and so, where he sold his soul to the devil in exchange for musical genius, right? So, anyway,
that story.
Yeah, well, so that was recorded in San Antonio at the Gunter Hotel.
Okay.
And Don Law produced it.
It's really raw, really gritty, no drums. It's just a guitar and really bluesy sound.
Yeah.
But the other question I had was he had Sweet Home Chicago on one of his albums. Did he write that?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up. Did he write it, Robert? I'm going to find out.
I don't know if anybody did that prior to him, and who knows where he heard it. Oh, he could have heard it from somebody and then played it, you know.
Well, that's interesting. This is why I said, I don't know. He did first record it, and he's credited as the songwriter. But the problem with that song is that there were many that were kind of precedents, you know, kind of based upon. And so it's kind of a City of Chicago anthem, right, even though there's a bit of ambiguity in the lyrics. But in terms of did he write it, well, let's say he appropriated it.
Okay. I've never heard that from him. Any chance that you would play something like that? And it's going to be raw and gritty, that's for sure.
Yeah, if I got it, it's on a 78, so that may take me a day or so for doing this. But I probably do have it, and I will write it down, and probably can. So let's see, Robert Johnson.
Yeah, I found it fascinating when Eric Clapton did the remake of that when he was in Cream. It's the same lyrics, but it's a different arrangement.
Right.
You know,
right,
from him going back to 1930 and pulling out a song.
Yeah. And that, by the way, that he recorded that at the Gunter as well. And it was was interesting.
What was the Gunter?
The Gunter Hotel was like 1909, and another hotel had been there previously. And it was like 8 stories and all that. And it had a studio in it. And so I think the Baker Corporation bought it in 1924 and expanded it and all that kind of stuff. And so I think that it may still be there, like it's a Radisson or a Sheridan or one of those, you know. But it was used in the military as well. And it was room 414 of the Gunter that was a recording studio. And that's where Robert Johnson, a makeshift studio, that's where Robert Johnson did his stuff. And so
it wasn't real high quality, as I said. It's
well,
really
it's yeah, really. It come on, it's room 414 of the Gunter, and Brunswick were the Brunswick label set up the temporary studio, and he did a number of things, like you mentioned, Crossroads and Sweet Home Chicago, both of them. Now, what's interesting is Johnny Mellencamp, Johnny Cougar, good old Indiana boy, in 2009 came to the Gunter. Because he wanted to record right behind me in the same room where Johnson had recorded it. I will tell you that it might have been the same room, but room 414 probably didn't look anything like it used to. But occasionally you'll hear that mentioned, room 414, and that's the Gunter Hotel, and it was Brunswick that did a makeshift studio for it.
So did Cougar do a remake of one of his songs then that he was going to try to do in the same room? Or
well,
just...
you know, I mean, no better than this is, I assume that it's not a remake. I assume he wrote it. T-Bone Burnett produced it. And I think it was just kind of a throwback to that sound. And it was actually recorded in pieces. I think some of it was at Sun in Memphis, but some of it was at some Baptist church in Savannah, and then later at the Gunter Hotel in room 414. And so that's the deal. But of course,
what was the name?
The name of the song was No Better Than This, and it was an album cut. And so, you know, this is so outside of the stuff that I know. The only reason I even knew who Johnny Mellencamp was is when I would get off the interstate I-65 at Seymour, where he lived. Occasionally, I'd see him at the A&W Drive-In. And that's before he became Johnny Cougar.
Wow.
So, wait a minute, what? John's saying something. What?
There's a documentary about Robert Johnson. You can probably find
it. Oh, John says there's a documentary about Robert Johnson. So you could,
I heard something about that. Somebody made a movie about it, and I don't know what the name of that is.
Well, you probably could just say Robert Johnson documentary, and I'll bet you it'll come up.
I don't have internet access like I should. I have to go down to the library to catch something.
Well, I'll look at it, and after the news, I'll tell you if I found anything.
All right. Great information. Sure. It's always great talking to you.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, and that is interesting, though. I probably would have been more interested in the spy. All right. So we'll get to Jim and Norge, who has requests as well, and there'll be plenty of room for you. We have 2 more hours of this, and now I'm on the hunt for the Robert Johnson movie. I'll find it if it's there. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
A tasket, a brown and yellow basket. I send a letter to my mommy. On the way I dropped it, I dropped it, I dropped it. Yes, on the way I dropped it. A little girlie picked it up and put it in her pocket. She was trucking on down the avenue with not a single thing to do. She went a peck, peck, pecking all around. When she spied it on the ground, she took it, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die. A tisket, a tasket, I lost my yellow basket. And if that girlie don't return it, don't know what I'll do. Oh, gee, I wonder where my basket can be.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is. Ella Fitzgerald, A Tisket, A Tasket. Obviously, originally a child's folk song, you know, the basic ring around the rosy and it's raining, it's pouring and all of that. And Ella and Al Feldman extended and embellished it into a jazz piece. And that was really her breakthrough hit with the Chick Webb Orchestra in 1938 and since become a jazz standard of sorts. So released in June of 38, and that was on Decca. Yeah, did very, very well. All right, so it was Laura in Willowbrook who wanted to hear it. So, okay, Laura, now you have.
Hang on just a minute. I got to turn my speaker off, bro. It'll be just a second.
Easier to turn off the speaker than the dog, yes. All right.
Yes. I wish I had a switch for the dog, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. Shopping. I have 2 issues. First thing... First of all, thanks for playing my song.
Sure.
My issue, first one is, am I allowed to say a name of a company? It's a good thing.
I'm not worried. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So I've been looking around on the Wayfair website.
Okay.
And they're a good company. I have nothing against them, so I figure it's okay to say something about them. But my only concern with, I was looking around and I've been wanting a recliner. And my recliner that I have now is 10 years old, and it doesn't recline anymore. I didn't know they could give out. So recently, Naperville opened a Wayfair outlet, which technically they said, well, it's not really related to the Wayfair store, like online store. Okay, whatever. But then I'm looking around, and I have a manual one now. And I thought, oh, gee, it sure would be nice to have an electric one. But I thought, oh, God, that's probably going to be like $1,000 or something. So I'm looking on the floor. Oh, my gosh. I tried one out, and I says, it's $275. I said, I couldn't believe it. My jaw dropped. I thought, what the heck? I thought, there's no way this is $275. And then I thought, okay, well, I'm going to check it out and then find out, you know, hey, how much is tax so I know how much I'm going to have to pay. Oh, well, the $275 includes tax, so which is good. But I'm just wondering, is this a deal too good to be true? I mean, $275 for the electric recliner?
Where are you getting it exactly?
What town you mean?
Yeah, I mean, this is a brick-and-mortar place, correct? It's a place you walk
yes.
in. All right. Well,
yes.
So unlike online, I would go there, and I would check out the chair. And if it feels good and all that, what's the problem? I mean, it'd be different if you were ordering it online and saying, I don't know what you're going to get. But you'll know before you buy it.
Okay. I just thought this just... Less than $300 just sounded too good to be
well,
true.
And I would worry more if you were doing this online, because very often you'll see these deals that are just incredible, and it turns out that they're, you know, ripoffs or worse. But when you're talking about actually going somewhere and seeing the product, you know, it's a chair. There's not much about it that's going to be a secret. You can get in it and see if it reclines. If you like the chair and it feels good and all that, you know, who knows why they're selling it, including sometimes when they're making way for other inventory and all that, they want to get rid of everything quickly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because floor space matters. I remember once I was walking through a JCPenney's. This is 40 years ago, and I'll never forget it, because they had women's leather belts that had been like $20-$25, and there were a ton of them, and they were all $2 each. I'm like, what?
Oh, wow.
So I said, I'll take
Whoa.
Them all. You know, and I did. And occasionally
Oh, wow.
that will happen. I regret it because we were in a department store a couple of years ago and some socks John liked, same deal, a table. They were a dollar a piece and they used to be like $15.99. I should have said, we'll take the whole table. You know, it
wow.
happens. So as
wow.
long as you can see it, you know, and check it out, you'll decide.
Yeah.
I would definitely go check it out.
Yeah, I mean, online shopping is so convenient, but I get leery of it, especially something like that.
Right, when it's that good a deal. But if you can see that in person, you know, now the other thing is, you know, in terms of what could it be, you'll find out if it's bait and switch. Maybe you'll get there, well, we don't have that chair, but we have this chair, and it's only $699. I mean, you never
right.
know. But
right.
But I would, what could you lose? A couple dollars in gas, go in there, check it out.
True. Okay, and can I tell you about my other story, since you were talking about malls?
Yeah.
And thank you for that heads up. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Sure.
Shopping mall. I always loved shopping malls. I mean, when I was a teenager, man, we'd spend half the day at the mall looking at the stores.
Yeah.
And, of course, coming back with as much as we could.
Right.
But, so, unfortunately, not as many are open anymore. I can't tell you why.
Well, that's right. That's the part that bothers me, too. They've gone out of favor, and they've been replaced by these fake downtown outdoor strip mall type things, and I just say no.
Bring back
the mall. I don't know.
Well, I want to tell people that are in earshot of Lombard, Illinois, Yorktown Mall has been there forever and a day, and it's still open, but one of my benefits, they allow dogs in the mall. Now,
right.
some people might not like that, but your dog has to be well-behaved. So my buddy Cotton, this time of year, sometimes it's snowy, rainy, icy. We go to the mall, walk around, and they actually have workers there that will actually, well, you know, I want to go buy something. Okay, well, I'll watch your dog while you go in.
Nice.
So they do that, too. So it's just really a benefit for the people there. The shops, so a lot of the stores will even let you take your dog in the store.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now, the Yorktown Center dog-friendly policy. So, yes, as long as the dog is well-behaved and not going to eat another customer, it looks good.
Exactly. All righty, thanks for your input, and I appreciate everything you and John do.
Keep me posted on the chair.
Will do. Thanks,
All right,
Dolly.
Thanks. So, 888-876-5593. Now we've got Jim in Norwich who has a request. All right, Jim, so welcome back to WGN Radio. What do you want to hear?
Hi, Raleigh. You know, I was digging that Jimmy Reed Blues number, and I was thinking of a guy that used to be on Sun. Everybody was on Sun.
Yeah, right.
Little Junior Parker and his Blue Flames.
Oh, sure.
And Yeah, they got a lot of good songs. They did Mystery Train, and I like this one called Fussin' and Fightin' Blues.
Okay.
But I'm calling from Norridge, and I got to say something on behalf of the Harlem Irving Plaza. It's in Norridge. It's not in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Norridge, that magical wonderland where I live.
All right.
Yeah, and that guy that digs Robert Johnson, he might also dig Charlie Patton.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know Charlie Patton?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not as well known as Johnson for whatever reason, but he's just as good, you know, from that same era.
Yeah, a little older. I think he was born in like the late 1800s, but absolutely.
Yeah, he's got some good stuff, and I really enjoy your callers and your musical selection. That lady with the costume ideas, you know, I'm in a wheelchair right now, temporary, because of medical issues, so I'm thinking I might go as a newsstand or
a like
coloring
it.
Book.
Yeah, not bad. Just make sure that these cardboard boxes aren't too heavy, because I'm still not sure about navigating with them.
Well, it might kind of keep you warm, too.
Well, yes, it might.
Yeah.
But, well, check it out. Do some dry runs before you go out on the street.
I will. Thanks, Raleigh.
All right,
good
thanks
show.
For calling. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. All right, so now we actually have in-house a Robert Johnson documentary, because John collects laser discs. And so The Search for Robert Johnson, which was done quite a while ago, and it's nice. Now, interestingly, Netflix has a document, and this is probably one that you can find online at the library, a documentary, Devil at the Crossroads. And that was from 2019, which you can see that as well. But John said, didn't he die in some strange way? Oh, is it ever? Firstly, we're not sure where he's buried, and that's another story, because the actual grave has never been confirmed. And in some ways, the death in their eyes are. But he was poisoned. And they believe that he was targeted by the vengeful husband of one of his mistresses. But yes, poisoned to death. So then that of course is why he died so young, 27 years old. Yeah, poison will do that. And his recordings, basically 1936 and 37, like I say, in the San Antonio Hotel. Why not? But there was I was also going to talk about Robert Lee Johnson, who was the spy, which is what I thought we were first discussing. And he was a sergeant who spied for the Soviet Union. And the deal was that he was stationed in Berlin, and he volunteered to spy for the KGB. And he recruited a former army friend. And so between 1953 and 64, 11 years, he passed on information while stationed at various sites throughout Europe. And most famously, he was working as a U.S. courier at the Orly Airport, south of Paris. And he occasionally had night duty alone in the center. Dispatches would arrive to and from the Air Force and Army bases in Europe, and he used to come out of the center, hand the KGB contacts envelopes full of documents to photocopy. They had a car waiting, which they sped to the Soviet embassy, photographed all the documents, replaced them, resealed the envelopes so there was no trace they had ever been opened, and then they rushed them back to Orly to give to Johnson before he went off duty in the morning. And this worked out fine, and probably would have worked out even better long-term, except in 1964, his wife turned him in. And so he received a 25-year prison sentence. But what was interesting is he was stabbed to death in prison by his son. His son was visiting. And Johnson hadn't seen his son for many years. He reached out to shake his hand. And when he reached out, that's when, without saying a word, his son stabbed him in the chest and he died. Later, when questioned by the FBI, all he said was, "It's a personal matter." I guess killing usually is. And he was released from prison, son, Robert Lee Johnson Jr., in 1983. I'll have to look to see whether he's still with us. That I haven't found. But all this and more, and Suavecito coming up next on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, it doesn't get better than that. 1972 on Warner Brothers. It was Malo. And like I say, everybody always referred to as Jorge Santana's band because, of course, related to someone we all knew. But the reality is that if you had to say it was anybody's band, it was Arcelio Garcia, because he was not only co-founder, he was the lead singer. And he was with them through, well, when he died in 2020, but he was there the whole time. And there were a number of musicians, especially in that horn session, that were just terrific. But most of them left for a number of reasons. And one of them went with Willie Bobo, another one went with Woody Herman, and, you know, on and on like that. And but Suavecito continues to, as far as I'm concerned, just be a killer. And Abel Zarate and Pablo Telles wrote it. And actually, while I say Arcelio Garcia was the founder and lead singer and all that, I think, and I'm not sure, I'd have to really research that, it might have been Richard Bean who actually sung that. I should know. I realize that, but it was still wonderful. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. I'll do that right now. I'll try to find out. Was it Richard Bean or was it Arcelio who was really the mainstay? All right, we'll find out and we'll hear the news, find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio.
Well, you know you took my...
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And that, of course, is Mary Wells, Bye Bye Baby, 1961 on Motown. And that was one of Jimmy P's six-pack. And we've gotten through, I believe, four of them now. And have two more to go. Rochelle and the Candles and the Dells. All right. And so I checked out Richard Bean. As far as I know, he's alive. He was performing as of a couple of years ago. And what's interesting is that, yes, he was lead on Suavecito. And I should have looked up about this guy earlier. Never bothered to. But he co-wrote it with a couple of the other members of Malo. And they recorded it in 71. And by the time it came out in 72, they had kicked him out of the band. Kid you not. And apparently he was the percussionist. He was a timbale player. And they didn't think that he was that good. So off he went and with his older brother formed Sapo. And I don't know much about what Sapo was, but they still, as of a few years ago, they were still performing. Yeah, so it was interesting because some people look at it as the Chicano anthem, as it were. And, of course, I mentioned Jorge Santana was in the group, and his, I think it was his cousin, was Carlos from Santana. And a year before they recorded Malo, Santana had Oye Como Va. And that got to number 13 nationally, which was just huge. But it was not a Chicano record. It was a remake of Tito Puente. And so here comes a couple years later, Suavecito. And, man, just huge to this day. You know, you go anywhere to East L.A. Deals or, you know, the concerts that, of course, the late Art LeBeau used to do and everybody else. Yeah, Suavecito is still one that almost brings tears to your eyes. So there you have it. So Richard Bean. All right. Should have known that. And, yeah, kicked out. Oh, well, it happens. But from what I understand, and this is the good part, he's still getting royalties off of that. All right. So 888 888- 876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Jim is in New Hampshire. So what's up tonight, Jim?
Oh, boy. I tell you, I am so glad that you played Smartecito, because it, you know, I was listening to you, you know, play it and everything. It just reminded me so much of a station I used to listen to when X-Rock, I mean, not X-Rock, but when Show Radio would run down at sundown.
Yeah.
I would listen to Krosno on X-Rock 80.
Right, absolutely.
And that was one, when you played that tonight, sort of reminded me a lot of the 150,000-watt blowtorch.
Yes, yes, and you're absolutely right. It had, back in the day, it had 150,000 watts. They're still licensed for that, but I think they're newer transmitters.
I don't...
50,000 now, but I loved X-Rock, and of course El Paso actually was where Richard Dean was born, who wrote
Sub-Zero.
But in any event, I love that station because you could take fluorescent lights, you know, the tubes, and go out by the transmitter and they'd light. So you could, you know, you could have, later I guess it would be considered a saber fight, but back then, yeah, it'd be like sword fights, because late at night there they'd be and they just light up. And, you know, it never occurred to us that we were probably lighting too, but nonetheless, yeah.
That's what a whole bunch of the guys, when I had my... realradio.com, there were a bunch of guys from, I think it was K-News that went over there,
mm-hmm.
From, went to X-Rock, and I loved hearing those stories about the transmitters and...
You know,
that sort of thing, and... you know, besides, like I said, when a show would run down at sundown, I could always listen to Krosno.
Right, exactly.
And he was one of my favorites on X-Rock 80.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, that 800 was such a magical frequency because depending on where you were and how you turned your radio, you could hear X-Rock 80, or you could hear, in fact, I was talking about this today with John, Radio Bon Air in the Lesser Antilles, or,
yeah,
remember, we used to love them, or, of course, CKLW. So it was just one of those marvelous frequencies. And
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And but just when you played that tonight, I said, oh, my gosh, X-Rock 80,
right.
Rock of the world.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
And sadly, maybe not sadly, maybe happily, I don't know, depends how you look at it, but it was really a revolving door. So many people went through that station. I mean,
Oh my gosh.
I don't think there's anybody in radio who doesn't know somebody who worked at X-Rock 80. So,
And, you know, they had the shotgun jingle moves.
Oh, sure.
There were a lot of stories about, I had heard about, they had, I think they, their whole jingle package or something was repossessed one night or something.
Why would that not surprise me? Yeah, but absolutely. But literally, so many people, the late Kirk Russell, his name was Kirk Potts, actually, but I remember hearing him on X-Rock 80, never sounding better. So, everybody has a memory about that. But
I mean... I, matter of fact, to tell you the truth, I was running around doing what I like to do, and that is chase air checks, and I found one from X-Rock one afternoon, and I spent that afternoon listening to that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And, oh, my. You know, that is just great.
Well, that's one of the beauties of YouTube, because almost everything is on it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. And I didn't think, you know, like I said, I was just going through YouTube. I thought, well, let me just for the heck of it type in X-Rock 80. And I went and did that little search, and there it was.
Right.
It was my air check I was looking for.
Right, absolutely. Well, yeah, I just did that on YouTube, and a ton of it. Including the format launch and the station composite, so it's jingles and all that. Yeah, you'll hate me for this because you'll spend hours, but it's all there. You can find it, and you know, I love those Border Blasters because they all had their own history, but of course nothing ever beat XERF. And
that's true.
Yeah,
that is true.
And I wish there would be no way to have preserved it, but wouldn't you have loved to hear Dr. Brinkley's broadcasts?
Oh, I'd love to have heard that.
Oh my gosh. I mean, he had that hotel where he was doing the goat gland operations in Del Rio, and he was... And, you know, that's my joke. What's the fastest thing on four legs? A goat walking by the Brinkley Clinic. But he literally was doing these things. And, of course, the medical question box show where no matter what ailed you, he had a formula that he'd send you. That's how he lost his station.
Sure.
Yeah, that's how he lost that station in Kansas. But, when he went down there, it was I'd love to hear that. But, unfortunately, I think the only thing we hear out of XERF is Wolfman. But not that that's bad. But I would have liked to hear
not that that's bad at all, but
well, you know, I always laughed when I first heard Wolfman on there because I never had the pleasure of Brinkley, obviously. I just know it historically, but of course, you know, here the goat gland operation, for anybody who's unaware, he was literally saying that he could restore men's virility by replacing their testes with goats, and people did this, including an editor at the Los Angeles Times, and that's because the owner of the Times, Chandler, made him do it and said, well, you do it, and if you do well, we'll publicize it. Well, anyway, the guy, for whatever reason, said, yeah, I did well, and they publicized it. But anyway, you know, so that was a history of the station, goat glands. And here comes Wolfman, and I'll never forget it, because he was selling something that must have been a sugar pill, but it was the same thing that promised to put a glut in your strut and a glide in your stride. I thought, my God, the goat glands are back.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh my gosh! you associate a lot of those Border Blasters with him. I think there was a NPR had a I forget how long ago this was now. But they had a an interview with Wolfman. It was on a All Things Considered feature, talking about the Border Blasters.
Sure.
And they interviewed him, and that was quite a treat, I'll tell you.
Oh, absolutely. And there have been books about it as well that have been pretty good, and it's been a lot of fun. And, of course, everybody knows the Wolfman, and, you know, if they look at history, they know about Brinkley. But these these people at a KIEV, which was a daytimer in Glendale, Los Angeles, they used to buy blocks of time, and that's how Huggy Boy wound up on all these stations, like XEG in Monterey on 1050 and all that, and for years. And they were selling the record packages. And I've mentioned this before, Huggy Boy was so cheap that he would ask people to buy it COD so he could deliver it himself and keep the COD charge. And so you haven't lived till Huggy Boy shows up with his albums at your door. But the deal was that they were all bootlegs, 100%, you know, people's 45s, they had no covers. And they had titles, rarely did they have artists, but they were original 45s, and you knew that because some of them wowed. But and in one of them, The Incredibles, it actually sounded better. I'll make it easy. But anyway, I digress. But I got this frantic call once from someone at KIEB saying, we know you know this stuff. And I'm like, you know, this is like the 70s. I'm like, what stuff is it that I know? You know all these Hispanic oldies and you know all the stuff that he... I said, yes, we need to know the writers and the publishers immediately. I know, oh God, they got caught. And so, you know, they said, you know, what do we have to do? I said, I don't know, buy me dinner. You know, I don't care. And so a friend of mine and I, J.T. Anderton and I, went, was actually lunch at the Tam O'Shanter. And we sat there and, you know, gave them the information they needed. But I thought to myself, I can only imagine what that phone call was like. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, because they'd sell them as like the Lowrider special, and it would be three albums. And you get the albums, and one would say Flashbacks in Stereo Volume 7, and the other would say, you know, Original R&B Hits Volume 2. I mean, they're just absolutely made up. And, you know, I've still got the albums.
No.
Yes, I kept them. I kept them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Because... it was great stuff, absolutely great, great stuff that you at that time wouldn't find anywhere else. But it definitely was their old 45s, Pops, Clicks, and Wows and all, you know, but who cares?
Everything that's so cool about a 45 or an album, you know, it's all the great stuff, you know. But, oh, man, but I just, oh, great. Yeah, great stuff. That was quite a NPR interview.
I'll bet.
And
well, yeah, Bob and his wife, Wolfwoman Lou, we used to call her. She were just a treat. They were absolutely a treat. And I knew them because a good friend of mine, in fact, you know him, Barry Richards, was very close.
Oh, good gosh.
It was very, very, very close to Bob. So I'd see him occasionally when I would be with Barry. And, you know, the stories were, of course, just priceless. I think he was at WTMA in Charleston before he went down to Del Rio. And and he was absolutely influenced. He listened to WLAC at night like the rest of us. And so I think that was the move that got him there. So you know, at the time, because of what happened with Brinkley, it was illegal to microwave the signal, so he'd have to drive across. And there was like gunfight in the parking lot and stuff. This was like the wild, wild west. And, you know, that was it every night. And then there was that famous...
You mentioned that on the NPR interview.
Oh, yeah, it was true. Absolutely. Did he, in that interview, did he talk about the first time he had to look like the Wolfman?
I don't remember. I don't recall if he did or not.
Well, this is a killer story, so hold on. Don't go away. Stay where you are, and we'll pick it up there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And that, of course, is Rochelle and the Candles, Rochelle Henderson. He was on Hunter Hancock's label Swingin' in 1960 with Once Upon a Time, and that was part of Jimmy P's six-pack. And we're talking with Jim in New Hampshire. See, I want to say New Orleans, but are you ever moving back to New Orleans?
Hopefully one day.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, right. Well, you know, it's interesting. During the news, I was looking to see if I could find the story I'm about to tell you anywhere online. You know, see, compare my facts to what? Nowhere. Story does not appear anywhere. So I have no idea if he told it to me. So I know mm-hmm. it. I know it's true. I remember exactly where I was sitting and with Barry Richards and him, and we were talking about it. And the deal was, you know, here he is on XCRF, and he's created this persona. You know, the Wolfman. And of course, as you well know, everybody listening, especially then in the early 60s, you know, there here's this night creature, you know, this larger than life thing. Well, anyway, he gets a letter from some college kids, I think in Oklahoma, and they want him to MC some like dance or event or something, right? And so he blows them off. And so they write back again. And so he figures, well, I'll just charge them whatever it was an astronomical amount. And he figures that's the end of them. Well, the kids raised the money. And so now he had to go. And the problem was he created this aural perception of who Wolfman Jack is, but he never created what the person would look like. And I mean, hearing him talk about the number of things he went through to become the Wolfman, which of course was much later refined, was truly hilarious. And I just wish someone somewhere had jotted that down with all the details. But every time I think about it, I think of him trying on these zoot suits to look like the Wolfman. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, sadly he left us way too early, but he was
too soon.
He was none too good to his body, I'll say that. You know, better living through chemistry. He might not have taken any of the glutton your strut pills, but everything else he was imbibing. So, yeah. What can I tell you?
Yeah, now I was tickled when you played Jimmy Reed.
Yeah.
Tonight, because that kind of reminded me of when Wyatt got going.
Oh, of course.
Barry Richards would come on Saturdays sometimes, you know, a rock and roll pig.
Yes, snorting and everything.
Man.
Yeah,
I love that.
Absolutely. It's a great time for him, you betcha.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah. And it really did a lot for 990, I tell you.
Oh, yeah. The AM and, of course, the FM he took to number one, but it just couldn't be profitable because you just couldn't sell it. And so, you know, later when, sadly, people from New Orleans will remember that it was owned by a white man, Eddie Muniz. And at the time, the competition basically went around, the other soul station went around and said, "Wild, don't buy." And most of them didn't, or if they did, it wasn't at great rates. When he switched it to that AC mulch after Barry left, I mean, it was just financially, he was in clover. You know, I mean, I might not have ever wanted to hear it, but man, money rained on this man.
So, and I was, of course, crushed by the whole thing myself.
Me too. But the beauty of it was it never would have been there if it weren't for Docket 8 at 90. You know, they moved that in from Slidell, and one night there it was.
Yep. There it was, sure. And,
good memories, good memories.
Definitely, which reminds me, which got me to thinking, I have a request. Could you play a little hide-and-go-seek by Bunker Hill?
Oh, sure, absolutely. It'll be tomorrow night, but I will absolutely play that. All right.
Yeah, that was one of the...
Oh, sure.
Really, they love to play that on 990.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we will do that. And I will talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And we go from Jim in New Hampshire to Jim in Richmond, Wisconsin. Went to the eye doctor today. What'd you find out, Jim?
Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
I have a bunch of things I wanted to talk to you tonight.
Okay.
But tonight, earlier 2 days ago, a day ago, I heard from Kim, and she wanted to get together and to download apps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her my eyesight was so terrible that I couldn't even see my phone.
Oh.
And I said, I'm going to the eye doctor on Wednesday, and I will call you back.
Okay.
And then today I had both the retina and the glaucoma specialist today.
Okay.
And it was amazing. I walked into the retina specialist. I had the first or second appointment this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get up at 5 a.m. in order to get there.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, we're giving you a shot of Eylea.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't even looked at the whether my, you know, the photographs that my eye was swollen or anything. And he goes, the Vabysmo didn't work, and we gave you a shot of the Kenalog, and it looks like the swelling is down. And I said, my eyesight is worst ever. And he goes, okay, we're going to give you a shot of Eylea, and that's what we're going to do today. And then we'll see what happens and come back in 4 weeks. And that was the appointment. And I was like, what the F? But
yeah.
With my brother worrying about his wife, I just let it go. So we went to the next appointment. And we drove to Skokie and saw the retina specialist. And he wasn't happy that we, you know, my eyes were dilated. But he said, okay. And then he gave me a new eye drop. Today, but I can't remember the name. It started with an I, and he said, we're going to go with this. And then we scheduled 4 weeks, and this time I see the glaucoma specialist first, and then the retina specialist afterwards.
Okay.
And because of the fact that, you know, he wasn't happy that my eyes were dilated, you know, so he didn't even look at my eyes,
Oh. But
he knew what was going on. And, you know, so that was that today. And I was just like, you know, it's like they, you know, they just want me in and out. And I was,
Yeah.
And so.
Now,
and,
at this moment in time, are you seeing any better?
At the moment, right now?
Right now.
Because it's. You know, I'm better than I was before I went, before
good.
I got the shot from my Leah,
okay.
But I won't know till tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And I'm going to let it go for 2 days and then call Kim and set up something
good
to do those. But I don't know how my eyesight's going to be, you know, then, you know. And, you know, it's just like, it's frustrating to me. That it's like, you're in and out, you know.
Oh, I do know.
And
I do know. That's one of the problems that is happening with medicine today. Unless you have the kind of money where you've got concierge docs who are not on the insurance model, they have to get you in
right.
and out because it's the only way they can make a living. I mean, the system is set up to basically be a revolving door.
Right. And then my neighbor said that he went to see a doctor, and his vision is really, you know, not as bad as mine, but he said this guy was real young and he was really nice and he was all in this, and I'm going, maybe I should look for another one, you know.
Well,
I went to Freydert, and it was like in and out, you know, here, we're gonna tube in your eye, and you know, and then, okay, I'm going for 6 months and see you later. But maybe there's a place in Madison you know, with the University of Wisconsin, it might be better.
Well, so I'll tell you, when you get a review from somebody you know who says it's a good deal, that's maybe something you follow up on. That might be a doctor you want to see.
Right.
And I would make an appointment now, because usually it takes forever to get one.
Right. But I'm just thinking about that.
Yeah.
And then the other, you know, stuff is I would like to ring some praise on my son.
Okay.
And I got a text. I texted them. Their anniversary for their wedding was on Monday.
Uh-huh.
And I text, you know, his wife, and I text him. I heard from his wife. I didn't hear from him, you know. But that also turns out to be my wedding anniversary,
really?
Which would have been 46 years.
Wow.
But, you know, it's like, you know, I how did that do for me? Because, you know, she divorced me 20 years ago. So, but anyways, I got a text tonight that he joined a roller hockey team.
Good.
And she sent me a text tonight that he was playing roller hockey tonight.
Great.
My daughter-in-law and the baby were watching, because, like I told you in the past, he loves to watch hockey
Good.
On the TV.
Yeah.
So they were watching the game, and she texted me and said, the score is 4-2, and Bobby scored the first two goals.
Good.
You know, and he was an excellent hockey player. He played in college and everything. And then finally, later on, I texted her back. I said, what was the final score? She said 6-2, and Bobby scored three goals.
Great.
So, you know, and he told me about 3 weeks ago that he was skating with them, in a, you know, just goofing around.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I couldn't breathe. I was going back and forth down in the ice and back and forth. And he said, I couldn't breathe, you know, because he hasn't played.
Sure.
And he's 41. So I thought that was totally amazing, you know, that, because, you know, that's when I was coaching hockey at the same age. So
Neat.
I just thought it was great. And then, you know, I just, you know, I'm just very in not a mood that I'm not happy right now.
Of course.
Because of my vision and everything else, but
of course,
you know,
I understand that.
I just want to tell all the people who think about me not to worry about me, because we'll see what happens.
Oh, sure.
You know, later on.
Absolutely.
I just want to thank you for being a place where I can speak how I feel, because nobody here wants to listen to me.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So,
well, it's always good to hear from you, Jim, and we will talk to you again soon.
Right.
All right.
And can you play something for me?
Yeah. Anything in particular? Do I get to pick it?
You know my taste in music.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think we're ever going to be on the same page there, but maybe I'll play something that'll make you laugh.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Tell everyone I love them.
All right. You just did. All right. We'll hear from you soon. Thanks. So.
Okay. Bye.
That's the deal in Wisconsin. Wisconsin checks in, and Jack is in St. Charles. We'll get to him. James is on the south side with his 8 million stories. Well, less than that now, but a few primo ones, and plenty of room for you. And yeah, we'll play something next to make Jim laugh. In fact, I know exactly what it's going to be coming up on WGN Radio.
Oh,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, I was going to play something else, but John came in and said, I got the perfect song. You got to play the Nutty Squirrels. All right. Uh-oh, part two on Hanover from 1959. We're actually talking about them, Sasha Berlin and Don Elliott, at dinner tonight. So why not? And, yeah, that was a year after Alvin hit the scene big time, but Sasha and Don, who were kind of ad guys in New York, decided that they would have their hand at it with the Nutty Squirrels and Uh-Oh, Part 2. So I can play you Part 1. It's it's pretty much the same stuff. All right, so 888-876-5593. I hope that Jim in Richmond at least smiled at that. And maybe tomorrow night I will play the one that I was going... Well, it's actually a short show tomorrow night, but, well, we'll do something. In the meantime, we got a request from Jack in St. Charles. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Jack? Howdy.
Yeah, what's up?
Yes. How about Little Joe and the Thrillers?
Ooh, which one?
Peanuts.
Oh, Peanuts. Okay, the hit. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely.
And to follow through, some Vince Guaraldi, Madness and Lucy.
Oh, okay. All right, good deal. Thanks, tomorrow night. Well, actually, it's a short show, so we'll see what we can get in, and what we don't, we'll get in next week.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, so we will find out what's going on in the world at large. Then we'll get back to Karen in Chicago, James on the South Side, Jeff and somewhere or other in Portland. All right, and you too, coming up on WGN Radio.
Has anybody seen?
She ran away.
I've been so lonesome.
Each and every day.
I'm tired of searching.
Searching east and west and all over town.
Will somebody please
tell me where my baby can be found?
Wouldn't be lonely,
lonely
if you don't let
ride or
call. I caught a bus.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. The Manhattans, of course, Searching for My Baby, 1965 on Carnival, and that was Karen in Chicago's request. And in fact, speaking of that, I believe that we have Karen in Chicago with another request on WGN Radio.
Hi, yeah, I sure do. And John helped me out there. I didn't remember. I heard a song that I really liked Monday night, and I couldn't find it. I tried writing it on YouTube, and I tried everything, couldn't get it. Turns out I had the title wrong. It's Music and Memory by Shirley Ellis.
Yes, and by the way, Jackie DeShannon also did that song.
Did she?
Yep.
Oh, man, I liked it. I'd never heard it before, and I wanted to hear it, so I went out trying to get Alexa to play it for me, and of course I had the wrong title. So that doesn't work.
Well, it's probably on YouTube, so Alexa should be able to play it. But if she can't play the Shirley Ellis, definitely probably the Jackie DeShannon.
Oh, okay. And I also want to let Jim know that I'm praying for him all the time, and I think about him a lot. And you know, everything is going to be okay. I'm totally blind, and I've been writing all my life, and I'm 80 years old, and I'm still having fun.
Good for you. That's excellent. Although, you know, when we talk about blindness, it's actually easier if you were born blind to go through your to go through your whole life with that and then suddenly lose that perspective. Man, that's tough.
Another thing that helped me a lot, I was raised by blind parents.
Oh, well, excellent. Excellent.
Oh, yeah. My mom was totally blind. Dad had 5% sight in one eye.
Uh-huh.
And my sister and I were totally blind.
Was that congenital? I mean, is that genetic?
Yeah.
Wow.
On my mom's side, it was retinoblastoma.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and my dad, I don't know what it was. We never did know for sure.
Yeah.
At least I never knew for sure. And I remember Grandma came down and lived with us, my mother's mother. I was born with a cleft palate, and it got to be a hassle for my mom being totally blind
sure.
to feed me. So my grandma came and lived with us from the time I was about 3, I think, till I was 9, she went to her other son in Gary, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
But that was how we did it, and we learned things at a very early age. Of course, having a blind mom,
right?
And you know, you're going to learn real quick.
Absolutely. Well, good for you. That's excellent.
And we had family, of course, family pride. I remember my father worked 3 jobs at one time.
Whoa.
And so we were, of course, taught to get out and work and, you know, do what you got to do.
And you have. You've created a life well worth living.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of friends, and I'm enjoying it. Oh, sure, after you get older and you retire, you have your days, but I can snap out of it.
Good. Excellent. All right.
And I really appreciate you. You've given me so much information. I would like to get your book.
Oh, it's free. It's absolutely free. Did I put a link on the homepage? I think so, under one of the dates. I should put it at another place, but let me see where I put it.
I'm wondering about getting, I might be able to get it brailled or put on
Yeah, it's not audio, I'm sorry to say, but it could.
There's a group here, it's called Blind Service Association, and I believe they'll put it on a cartridge for me.
Okay. Well, if they will, that's great. I was going to read it, but I discovered I'm no good at that. You know, the voiceover community is safe from my efforts at reading my own book. So,
I think you'd be good at it.
Oh, but I wasn't. I tried it for quite a while and realized this is not a skill.
Okay.
It's like years ago when I used to do morning, especially like in places like Jacksonville, smaller markets, I would always get calls like from the ad agencies that did the grocery ads because they figured, oh, well, she's a woman. She's in morning. She'll be perfect, right? And I used to tell them, you don't want me to MC, you audition for this. I can't do this. Oh, you must. We listen to you every morning. Come in. And my favorite quote from someone was he said, I got it handed to you, lady. You turn meat into a verb.
Wow.
Well, I told you not to call me.
Okay.
So,
and you asked for it.
Yeah.
Like my dad used to say, you get what you pay for.
Well, that's it. So I'm looking to see where I put it on one of these pages because it's here it is. It's under the August 27th, 2024 entry. And what I'll do is try to remember that and move it up to the top of the page so you can just click on it. Then you can, you know, download it and do whatever you want with it.
Okay, I just, I don't know how. Okay, go on Safari and get it that way.
No. Right, Safari's fine. You're just going to go to Raleigh.net, R-O-L-L-Y-E. Dot N-E-T. But what I'm going to do, if you're good at
my contacts.
All right. So then if you do that, that's all you got to do. It's right now, it's under Tuesday, August 27th, but I will copy and move that link to the top of the page later tonight so it'll be easier to get.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Oh,
thank
sure.
you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm not going to do a reprint. And when I've seen what some people tried to charge on Amazon, I'm like, that's highway robbery. Don't even think about it. And so it's free.
Oh, I love it. And I can read it.
Yeah.
that's so cool. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. All right. Well, thanks.
You have a great night. And
all right.
Stay healthy.
I'll try. You too. Okay.
God bless you. Thank you.
888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
How good it was when you were here, and it ain't the wine that I've been drinking. For once I feel my head's clear. But early this morning, when I opened my eyes, that all lots of feeling took me by surprise. I guess you meant more than I realized. But I'm hungry and stays on my mind.
The love we had.
The love we had stays on my mind. And pretty girl, I've been remembering.
WGN Radio. Well, that's the sixth of Jimmy P's six-pack, and that's Latter Day Dell's 1971 on Cadet, The Love We Had. All right, so 888-876-5593. Let's check out Jeff in Portland. What's up tonight, Jeff?
Hi, Molly. Thank you for playing my song last week of Tarantula Gould in the Graveyard Yard last Thursday. I appreciate you doing that.
My pleasure. Glad you remembered her.
Okay. I have one request. Could you play California Dreaming by the Mamas and the Papas?
Okay.
And then I wanted to talk about, I have some hearing difficulty on the phone, so I was wondering, using TTY versus RTT, how do those things work, and then how does that work with ADA and stuff? Because I have a hard time with, you know, calling up places, and then they'll do is like, oh, press one, press two, press three, do the little chain thing where it makes it rather difficult. I was going to go use like 711, use TTY to hopefully deal with an operator, and then try to go through my transaction that way, and then sit there, try to at least that might help some of the other people, listeners in the community. For example, having to deal with making phone calls and that, possibly using another service where they don't have to go behind this, what is it? How should I put this? This obfuscation where you're trying to get, services you need from, like, banks or, you know, and that.
Basically, TTY is just an improved version. RTT is an improved version of TTY. One of the problems with TTY is that it was not full duplex. And what that meant is that while you were typing, somebody else couldn't have been typing back to you, the person at the other end. It was turn-taking. You would do it, then have to wait. They would do it, have to wait. With RTT, it allows for simultaneously send and received on texts. Now, it's interesting to me because when you're using things like VoIP, there's always an inherent half duplex. But what I understand is that when it comes to the texting, that RTT will allow the simultaneously send and receive, which means you're going to get less dropouts and less garbling. And that's about the only difference I know. As far as that goes, I've heard mixed reviews, and if you go online, you can read them. So I don't need to really expound on many of them because there's a ton of them. You're fortunately you're not alone, and unfortunately you're not alone, if you know what I mean. So I would opt for RTT over TTY, but hopefully you can find an even better solution that will not require either.
Okay, because I mean, like for example, where I have the hardest time is when they have me go call somewhere. And, like, for example, most time when I talk to fellow Americans, I can understand them. But, if, for example, they outsource the call center to, like, you know.
I do know.
Over in India or whatever that. I have a hard time understanding what they're asking me.
Well, you're
not alone.
And
their command of the English language isn't that good.
Right. You're absolutely not alone. Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is that it depends how much the company wants to pay the call center. Because there are call centers in India where you would never know they weren't in Oklahoma. Those people are flawless, but that's going to cost a fortune. And so most companies don't sign up for that kind of tier of service. So they get what I like to say, they get people who think they're speaking English, but we know they're not. So it doesn't matter how well you hear, most people cannot understand that. And you certainly, when that happens, can demand somebody you can understand. And I do that, too. I say, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. Give me a supervisor. And if the supervisor does the same thing, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. Eventually, you'll usually get transferred back to America.
Okay. Well, thank you for that advice how to escalate the thing, and that at least that.
Yeah.
Now you can give me some other tools in the tool belt to deal with this.
Well, sure.
You know, deal with customer service with Amazon. That I mean.
Oh. Yeah, it's a customer disservice. I know. The key is never lose your cool, even when you want to eat them. And always be polite. Just be polite but insistent. You know, you're like the Rock of Gibraltar, and they can try to chip away, but you're going to stand there to get what you want and what you need. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've said to somebody, no, we can't do that. Oh, I'm sorry, can I have your supervisor, please? You know, and they can't refuse you that. And occasionally the supervisor, well, you know, I need a level above you. I'm not meaning to cast aspersions at you, but clearly you're locked into not being able to help me. So I need to go higher. What do we do? You know.
Okay.
And
thank you for your problem solving and listening to my concerns, at least helping the other WGN community know how to deal with customer service and getting better.
Well,
so.
The funniest thing now is determining whether you're talking to AI or not, and or whether you're texting to AI. Most of the chats, the first half of the chat is AI. And so
I can figure that out like a minute or two by the questions you're asking me.
So I always bypass that. I start with agent, agent, agent. And if they write back in something, I just say agent, agent, agent. And eventually, after I've done that four or five times, they say, hold on, we'll connect you to an agent.
Okay.
You know,
well, thank you for your time.
Oh, yeah. Well, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it, Jeff.
Thank you for all your bye.
All right. So, yeah. And it is terrible when you have that language barrier. And the worst, the funniest for me was I had the mistake of having to call Arizona, and I don't remember whether it was DOR, in other words, withholding tax, or whether it was unemployment compensation. So I'm not sure which one of these departments to really denigrate here. But whichever one it was, I got somebody, and she said, well, you have to fill out a form. And she's not speaking any form of English. Maybe it was Pig Latin or Mia Suri or something. I don't know, but whatever it was. And so she was saying something that sounded a lot like Blean, and she was giving me the number of the form, like AZ-16 Blean. And so I said, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. Well, so she slows down and says it again. And to this day, I have a feeling there's a number between 6 and 7 called Blean, because there was no way that I could get this. And how I knew what she was saying, she says, no, you don't understand. I said, that's true, I don't. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Blean. And I said, no, I don't know what this woman was trying to say. It certainly didn't sound like 7. But in any event, yeah, after a while, you just have to realize that you're living in a sitcom and just go with it. So 888-876-5593, although I don't know why I'm giving out the phone number, because I'm only going to have time for Danny, who's a first-time caller, and Tubby in Chicago, and hopefully James, but we'll see. All right, so Danny, a first-time caller, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, I enjoy you. I've been scratching my head, and I'm enjoying your program, but there's an R&B song, something about Stop That Train. I just made you with that one.
Stop That Train. Now, the first thing I thought of when you said train was Go-Go Train. So, and how long has that train been gone? That's a wonderful song, but that's
I think it came out, give or take, in the 60s.
Yeah. Can you give me any more lines from it besides Stop That Train?
Oh, no, I'm kind of lost. I've been scratching the sunroof and top of my head trying to figure it out.
Okay.
But I'm enjoying. I enjoy you every night, and I will be calling you back.
Oh, John says it's on the Harder They Sound music soundtrack, so let's find out what's on that. Music soundtrack. Okay. Was that a movie or something? All right.
Yeah.
Okay, John says it was a movie. So let's see what's on that. I don't think so. Harder They Come, of course, is Jimmy Cliff, but Pressure Drop, Rivers of Babylon, Shanty Town, Sweet Dandy, Draw Your Brakes, Many Rivers to Cross, You Can Get It If You Try. I don't think so. I'm going to find this, though, Danny. Hopefully you'll be listening when I do, but I'm not giving up.
Me either.
Oh, good. No, I mean, if you want, I know what that's like. And, you know, in the middle of the night, you wake up and it, like, becomes urgent that you know. I understand. But, you know.
It's like on the tip of my tongue. Yeah. But
now,
there's
a Bob Marley and the Wailers song that's called Stop That Train.
Possibly. I'm
Stop That Train,
sure.
I'm Leaving. I said it won't be too long whether I'm right or wrong. Won't be too long whether I'm right or wrong. All my life been a lonely man. Does that sound familiar?
Kind of, sort of. If it ain't first cousin, it's second cousin.
All right. Well, let's see if we can find that song and play it, because it's probably sitting here on this, embarrassingly to say. But
right.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. I've probably never played it, but well, I must have if I put it on here, but not again. Let's see. Okay. All right. Well, I got a clip of it for sure. And 1973. Would that be right? Well, we'll find out. See if it's this.
Okay.
We'll find out. Okay, that's it?
You got it.
Okay, well, I own it, so it must be fairly easy to get. So it's Bob Marley, and the album, I think, is Soul Rebel. But Bob Marley, Stop That Train.
Okay.
All right. I wish everything else were that easy to solve. But yeah, you can. I have it on a 45, but I'm sure that it's on CDs as well. So you should have no trouble with it. Bob Marley, Stop That Train.
Right. Okay. I appreciate it. Now we'll be listening all the time and calling back.
I can't wait. You must call me back. Make it a promise, and I'll hear from you soon.
I promise.
Okay.
Have a blessing.
All right. Thanks.
Good morning.
Appreciate it. Oh, man. And, Tubby, I ran out of time. I'm so sorry, Tubby. And James, both of you. But Danny, of course, was a first-time caller, so we gave him more time. But, Tubby, if you'll call me back tomorrow night, and likewise, James, we have some stories to discuss, I know. Now, tomorrow, I'm on an hour late, so instead of 10 o'clock Central, it'll be 11 o'clock Central. But we'll have 2 hours to spend together, call early, and Tubby and James can have as much time as they want. And you can, too, actually. So until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio. But before I say anything else, thank you, Adam. Thank you, John. And thank you for calling. That's what makes the show easy to do. Do it again tomorrow night on WGN Radio.